great.
Stay tuned for the Sean Casey Show, a podcast for patriots. People, we are back. It is a Friday. It's the end of the week of the Sean Casey Show, a podcast for patriots, and welcome to the resistance, folks. It's where we, the people, gather together as we resist. We will never, ever quit. We will never submit or capitulate, surrender to the Marxist forces that now occupy our all three branches of government. We've got Chairman Joe and Cackling Commie Harris in the White House. We've got the Chuck Schumer-led Marxist in the Senate, and, of course, the Pelosi Marxist over in the House. We're joined in the battle, our executive producer, Joe Hosni-Armacost.
Well, happy Friday, happy Friday, happy Friday. Glad to be here.
Friday's here, and the weekend is upon us, and we're ready to roll here. And our associate producer and researcher, Michelle Drosella. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi there. How's everybody doing?
We're doing just fine. You take care of that guy over there. I'm telling you, he's all.
I know.
He's on the unleashed today. I mean, I tell you,
he is.
He's like you know, the animal that's been caged up for like 7 hours.
Damn computers.
I know. If it's not one thing, it's the other. That is for sure.
Exactly.
Look, we got a lot to discuss in this episode, including the Disinformation Governance Board, aka the Ministry of Truth, is kind of quietly snuck its way back in, and we now have a Kamala spotting, so we'll get into that, what her role is on that. Also, the lowlights from the J6 Soviet-style show trial yesterday. They were trying to rehab Mike Pence for president and keep Donald Trump out, the Democrats and the GOP swampers. Big Oil firing back at Chairman Joe, and more proof, more evidence that the them Marxists have no intention to continue with fossil fuel. They want to just get rid of all fossil fuel, all gas, get rid of our internal combustion engines, everything that we use for energy today. They want us all to suffer and go back to the cave days, I guess. So we'll take a look. Dr. Fauci has been tested positive. We'll hear from him in this hour as well. I'm going to start today with our founding fathers quote, and it's about propaganda, because that's what's coming out of the Justice Department today, Kamala Harris and this new board, as well as the J6 show trial. And it is, I think this is one of my favorite quotes of Jefferson, because the way he phrases this, it makes you think entirely different about propaganda. Most people think propaganda is spin. You know, propaganda is it's disinformation or misinformation. But Thomas Jefferson said, and I quote, "I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man." End of quote. Tyranny over the mind of man. That's his definition of propaganda. Government falsehoods, when your government lies to you like they have been doing. Look, I don't trust the alphabet agencies anymore. I really don't. I can't name a single alphabet agency that I trust, including the DOD. Now, for our fine rank and file fighting forces, our very brave men and women of our armed forces, absolutely trust them with my life and our country, but not the Joint Chiefs of Staff, not Lloyd Austin, not the the big pointy heads at DOD, and especially since they've gone woke like just about everybody else. You name it: FBI, DOJ, DHS, IRS, FDA, CDC, and on and on and on. Because I don't trust any of them. And so this is what they've all been engaging in: tyranny over the mind of man and women here of late. So I do want to start off with some good news here today. We've got the report card from President Trump after the, you know, look at this. I just get another text from the state of Maryland. Let me read this to you. Good day. Hang on a second. Good day. This is the Maryland Department of Health contacting you regarding COVID-19 booster vaccinations.
Really?
The CDC recommends booster shots for patients ages 5 and older who have completed their primary series of Pfizer, BioNTech, or Moderna at least 5 months ago. Our records indicate that you're eligible to receive your booster. To get more information about boosters and schedule an appointment, please blah, 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 blah. Okay, you know
what? Hell no.
Okay, S-T-O-P. Stop. Send. Yeah. Get off my lawn. All right, had enough of them. Sorry for the distraction. It just popped up right in my face. I had to respond. All right, so the Trump-endorsed candidates in the primaries so far this year, 129 wins, 8 losses in the primaries after the big wins in South Carolina, Nevada, and in North Dakota. It's a pretty darn good record.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And when you come to think of it, pretty darn good record. And let's go back and look at the 10, remember the 10 House Republicans that voted to impeach Donald Trump? I wanted to go back and look and see how they're doing right now. Out of the 10, 4 of the 10 are retiring. Adam the Crybaby Kinzinger of Illinois, Anthony Gonzalez, Ohio, John Katko of New York, and Fred Upton of Michigan. They're gone.
See ya.
Exactly. We have one who lost the other night in South Carolina, Tom Rice, lost to the Trump-backed Russell Fry by 26 points. So, well, you've heard of fried rice? This is fry over rice. Yeah. We have right now three of, actually four people losing in their current races. Liz Cheney of Wyoming, trailing Trump-backed challenger Harriet Hageman by 28 points. Peter Meyer of Michigan right now is several points behind John Gibbs, the Trump-backed challenger in the state of Michigan. Jamie Herrera Butler is a trailing Trump-backed challenger and Navy SEAL Joe Kent by 6 points. And Dan Newhouse of Washington also trailing the Trump-backed challenger in that race by 8 points. That is Lauren Culp, who is ahead of Dan Newhouse. The only race where one of the impeachment votes is currently ahead is in California. David Valadao he's currently ahead by 3 points, but he doesn't have 50% of the vote yet, and that won't be certified until July 15th. He's got to get over 50%, so we'll see what happens. But right now, 9 out of 10 are either gone or in trouble. 90%, that's pretty darn good. Anything could happen in California, right?
Don't let the screen door hit you in the ass.
So true. All right. Well, remember we had, what was her name of the speech czar that was singing the Mary Poppins song?
Nutty Nina.
Nina Jankowicz. Yeah, Nina Jankowicz. We thought after that it was going to be, well, I never thought it was going to be completely gone, but there was a big, she resigned and everyone just kind of was laid low for a little bit, but now she's back. Not Nina, but cackling Kamala Harris. Yeah.
I wonder where she was.
We need a, because she's done just a wonderful job. What was her first job? She was, that's right, the border czar, Ina. She was trying to find the root causes of illegal immigration. Yeah, that worked really well, didn't it? As millions are pouring over our southern border. Then she was put in charge of voter reform. That didn't go over too well. Mm-mm. And now she's been tasked to head up the new Department of Justice task force. They claim it isn't the DGB, the Ministry of Truth, but it really is. It's Ministry of Truth 2.0. So call me whatever you want. Speechinista, I think was yours, Joe. That was your nickname for Cackling Camel. Some are calling her the Canceling Queen with a tribute to ABBA there. Others are just Big Sis is another one. Whatever you choose, Cackling Kamala Harris is going to lead the new task force targeting, quote, online harassment, abuse, and disinformation campaigns.
We still have so much more work to do to protect people from online harassment and abuse, which is why the work of this task force is so important.
Yeah, so look, that sounds so... No, who could be against that? We want to protect people from online abuse and harassment and cyber stalking. And yeah, of course we do. But the problem is they never define it. They don't define what that is. So the people they could be protecting could mean the people in government. So you start up on government, if you start posting all this stuff that's anti-democratic dogma or propaganda, you could get flagged by your government. And some have already been flagged. I'll give you some names here in just a second. But this is another move to silence dissent. The Biden regime announcing the creation of this new task force that's going to target this. And listen to what Harris says. No one will be immune from this task force.
No one should have to endure abuse just because they are attempting to participate in society. Of course, the impact of this abuse extends beyond the ability to use the internet system and the power of the internet without fear. It's beyond that. In many cases, cyberstalking have serious mental health consequences for its victims, sometimes leading to self-harm, sometimes leading to suicide. And we continue to see how some acts of mass violence, the most recent included, have followed expressions of online hate and abuse.
Yeah, but that could include just about anything. It's a very wide swath of could be people that are abusing or targeting individuals or groups or government itself. Now, she's going to be joined in this task force by the White House Director of Gender Policy. Bet you didn't know they had one of those, huh? As well as Biden's Assistant for National Security Affairs. They're going to serve as the task force co-chairs. Yesterday, the Attorney General Merrick Garland was out there and talking about exactly who they're going to be going after.
Online criminal harassment and abuse are serious offenses. They are easy to commit and often difficult to investigate. And they inflict devastating and long-lasting harm on victims who are disproportionately women, children and young adults, and members of the LGBTQ plus community. Preventing and addressing online criminal harassment and abuse requires a whole of government approach. And that is why the Department of Justice is eager to take part in the critical work of this task force.
Yeah, I bet you are. Rooting out all those white nationalists and the white supremacists and the conservative activists and the people who disagree with your regime. Because, you know, you read the fine print here in the White House memo itself, and it says they're condemning gendered disinformation, and they'll be developing programs and policies to address online harassment, abuse, and disinformation campaigns targeting women, Alphabet Mafia, and others who are public and political figures.
You know, the timing of this is a little weird with Elon just about to get his mitts on Twitter. And, you know, he said he was going to, like, hold it loosely and let people say pretty much what they want.
Yeah. So just about when he does that, then he gets we get this threatening from the federal government that they're going to be. And look.
How about that?
First Amendment, the reason why the First Amendment was put in, besides religious liberty, is to protect, really, freedom of speech, but the political expression of speech. If you, under George III in the UK, if you spoke out against the throne, against the crown, King George, it was off with your head.
Yeah.
Or they threw you in jail, never to be seen or heard from again. So our founding fathers were really, really concerned about the ability to speak out against government and those in it.
We knew this was going to happen because we just had this feeling that the first one, the disinformation board, was just a setup for this. This is like a monster, in my opinion.
Right. This could be much worse because there was a small working group that Nina Poppins was looking at. But again, look at who they're basically saying: minorities, women, Alphabet Mafia individuals who are public and political figures, government, civic leaders, activists, and journalists in the United States and globally.
Yeah.
Have you said something nasty about the picture of Emmanuel Macron kissing Zelensky today? Did you see that picture, by the way?
No.
Yeah, as the Emmanuel Macron, the French president, has got this thing with PDA with other men. It's just really weird. Next thing you know, he's showing up in the shower with Joe Biden. All right. That's a nasty visual. Sorry about that heading into the weekend. But big sister too, and Merrick Garland, this is scary too. Because, you know, what the NSA does, okay, what do? They collect data. And so now we're being told that that's going to be exactly what the government's going to be doing here.
OVW has also funded important work that is underway to collect nationally representative data on cyber stalking in the United States. This data will help us assess the scope and the nature of these crimes, as well as determine survivors' access to services and any unmet needs.
There it is, collecting data. So who knows? You could be out there just railing. Yeah, using your Getter, your Truth Social, Facebook. You're just railing on Biden and Kamala Harris and who knows who else, Mayorkas, Chris Ray, whatever, Garland himself. And they're collecting all this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, how about, you know, a podcast doing it? What do you think, huh?
Yeah, they're probably collecting it on us right now.
Yeah, sure.
I don't like it. Not one bit.
No, and there's a good reason for you to be suspicious and not like it. Because, you know, we see what they did to the J6 prisoners. Okay, that's very, very scary in and of itself. And Garland goes on to say that they're going to be expanding their authority. And listen to who's going to be having the authority to police this stuff.
We are expanding our capacity to prosecute online criminal harassment and abuse. Our 94 United States attorney's offices across the country, with the support of our criminal division, are working in partnership with law enforcement at all levels to successfully prosecute these cases.
So they're expanding of 94 U.S. attorney's offices. You know, it's not like we have, you know, a crime problem or anything in our major cities, right? It's not like we have millions of illegal aliens and the cartels pouring fentanyl, illegal weapons, drugs, sex, human trafficking. It's not like they would be busy with something like that. No, they're now going to go after the American people itself, themselves.
You know, Sean, maybe you might not like to hear this, but really, this is not America.
No.
This is not America. And I'm not even, this is not America the way I know it. It's not America. We do have a First Amendment right, and it's being ignored and pissed on. This is not America. Does anything happen to these people for doing something completely illegal?
No, the only thing we can do is, again, spread the word. Get everybody out there in 143 days from now.
Call your congressman.
Call your member of Congress. Call your, do whatever you can. Join a group. Spread this podcast far and wide. Again, get everybody that you know of like mind to get registered to vote. The good news, as we told you last episode, the turnout is 32% for the GOP, -3 for the Democrats. So we got to make that even better. Get it up to 40. And you know, as far as that goes, we need bodies at the ballot box.
In my opinion, this would not fly through the Supreme Court. This would not be legal
right
to do.
No, I think you probably would be right, although I don't know why they're dragging their feet on all the big major decisions. We got a gun rights case, we got a abortion case, we have the praying coach case, and here we are in mid-June and they still have, I think, has the assassination attempt successfully intimidated the Supreme Court? We'll see. I hope not. But now we have this other character, the Surgeon General Vivek Murthy. He's out there. I want you to listen to this carefully because he's sending a message to big tech. And who is that? That's Twitter. It's Facebook. It's Instagram. Again, they don't care about Getter and Truth Social. Parler's dead. But the big guns, here is the message that the regime has for them.
You know that there has to be accountability from those whose tools and platforms allow online abuse to occur, as well as accountability for the individuals who perpetrate this abuse. It can no longer be acceptable for a technology company to put out a product and walk away from the responsibility for how it impacts users and communities. It can no longer be okay for social media platforms to be fertile grounds for hatred. Accountability matters. Transparency matters, especially when lives and well-being are at stake.
So that's big government, kind of through the Surgeon General. It's not the president. It's not the Attorney General. But, you know, from a public health standpoint, threatening big tech. You know, you better police yourselves. You better make sure that you crack down even more on conservative dissent. That's the hidden message here. You make sure you, whatever you have to do to shadow ban, and that's a message to Elon Musk too. But this is already going on. Let me explain to you how. The National Science Foundation have, along with far left-wing billionaires, have created a list smearing Americans for questioning the validity of ballot harvesting, mass mail-in voting, you know, if you are a believer in hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, if you doubted the jab, mask wearing, if you questioned Fauci, and quote unquote, because remember, he is science, and question all that, that you got put on the list. Think about that for just a second. This is what Joe's right. This is what communists do. This is not America. This is a distress call going out right now. Every single American, if you have a flag outside your house right now, you should fly it upside down as a sign of distress for this country. Researchers at the National Science Foundation combed through 45 million tweets that sowed doubt on the 2020 election, and they came up with a list of top spreaders of disinformation. Again, the government paid for this research, okay? I want you to keep that in mind. And they came out, and this was technology, ballot harvesting, post office accusations, partisan vote counting, votes cast by dead people, all of this stuff. And the list that I have right now, and these are the big guns, you know. So, folks, if you have, you know, less than 100,000 followers on Twitter, you probably are not going to hear your name here. But listen to the top five that they put out there as threats to the disinformation spreaders, super spreaders. Real James Woods, number one, the actor on Twitter. Gateway Pundit, number two. Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch, number three. Jack Posobiec, number four. Eric and President Trump and Donald Trump Jr., five, six, and seven. This guy on Twitter called Cat Turd I follow.
Oh, yeah.
Cat Turd.
He's on there?
He is on there.
Wow.
Cat Turd's on there, Praying Medic, James O'Keefe. A lot of these names you probably recognize. Richard Grinnell, Candace Owens, Michelle Malkin, Charlie Kirk. Let's see. John, there's another guy I follow. John Cardillo, Rudy Giuliani. Project Veritas, Scott Adams Says, John Solomon Reports, Mark Levin Show, Breitbart News, and Diamond and Silk. Those are the top 35. That's all I have right now.
Unreal.
And they're all, they've got them, stories with tweets, large tweets, number of retweets, and all, number of followers. This is a database that the United States government has paid for through the National Science Foundation and identified a list of Americans who are super spreaders of disinformation. Now, we've seen these lists before. Remember, back during the pandemic, they had, was it Dr. Mercola, I think, was on that list, and there were a few others. The frontline doctors were flagged. By the way, one of those has now got a prison sentence, Dr. Simone Gold. She went into the Capitol on January 6th with a megaphone. Did not vandalize, did not attack anybody. 2 months sentence in jail for going into the people's house. And I think the violation was entering a restricted building or some such nonsense. You know, so they're all there. That's what they're doing. It's not America as we know it. That is for sure. All right. So that's our lead today. And I'm sure we're going to be hearing more about Big Sis or the canceling queen in the near future. Time for Joey B's here once again for his weekly podcast address.
My smell of Americans. It's me, Joey B, the president of the White House. Father's Day is on the way. In America, we always talk about forefathers. But there's lots of fathers I want to celebrate, not just four of them. Like, you take me. I deserve some praise as a dad and a grad. Look at my boy. I taught him a lot. One thing I regret, though, I didn't teach him, and it's something every father should pass down to every son. Don't leave your laptop hanging around. Everybody will see your cocaine out. But as I look at my boy, I'm reminded of my own father and how embarrassed he would be at his grandson. Hey, sorry, Pops, but I got a country to run. Happy Father's Day, everybody. All for you.
And there he is, Joey B. Smartest guy he knows is Hunter Biden, that's for sure. All right, so now to the January 6th. This is the third hearing after the primetime disaster in Dud. The second hearing, I think the first hearing, maybe 30 million people total. This one, second one on Monday or Tuesday, I think it was Tuesday, 10 million. That's it. It keeps, you know, dwindling.
Flipping.
Yeah, and then they had to delay the hearing on whatever day that was, based on the fact they couldn't have, they didn't have enough video or whatever. So this was the third hearing. There are a total of six, and there'll be three more next week, and then it'll be over. But this is nothing but a Soviet-style show trial, and we'll ask and get to the reason why here in just a second. But I want you to listen carefully to the clips that we have today. First up is our good old buddy Shifty Schiff. Shifty Schiff, remember when he said he had evidence of Russian collusion?
Yeah.
Yeah. We never did see that evidence, did we?
No.
No, in fact, it was the FBI and everybody involved, Robert Mueller, special counsel, $45 million later, concluded there was no Russian collusion. The dirty dossier was salacious, unverified, and bogus. We know this. But Shifty Schiff is back for another bite at the apple. He says he's seen evidence about Trump and J6.
I certainly believe there's enough evidence for them to open investigations of several people. And so does Judge David Carter in California, who believes that the former president and others were engaged in likely multiple criminal acts. And so if the Justice Department concurs with Judge Carter, let alone my own view, or others, they should be pursuing that. And so, yes, I think there is sufficient evidence to open an investigation. And, you know, it would be up to the Justice Department ultimately to decide, does that evidence rise to proof beyond a reasonable doubt such that they're comfortable indicting someone? But there's certainly, in my view, enough evidence to open investigations.
You know, there's one thing that besides obviously saving the country that I'm hoping and praying that the midterms are able to accomplish in 143 days is that when Jim Jordan becomes the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, that the first person that they look into is this dirtball.
Well, there you go. You know, here's a guy that made false accusations against a, you know, a sitting president. He had proof he was colluding. Nothing happened to him. And we're supposed to listen to this cut that you made, you know, that we have right there, and give it any credence whatsoever. No, not America.
Yeah, and they look at it, and he's also altered evidence. He's taken,
that's right.
He's taken texts, and he's altered them that before a congressional committee and a hearing. I mean, this is blatant. If there's any blatant criminal evidence, it's on Adam Shifty Schiff. And of course, Liz Cheney, she reminds me of that, you know, the announcer when you're trying to, they're trying to sell you some incredible thing on TV, but wait, there's more. Listen to what Liz Cheney now is hawking.
Over the course of our next hearings, you will see information about President Trump's efforts, John Eastman efforts, the Trump legal team's efforts to apply pressure to Republican state legislatures, state officials, and others.
Yeah, that's what you're going to see in the next hearing. But wait, there's more. Operators are standing by. Miss Cleo. I mean,
if it was something important, they should have brought it out before now. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, well, what took so long? Of course, this is all being timed going into the midterms, and they were hoping that a lot of people would tune into this. Like, you know, they were going to think this would be the Watergate hearings all over again. No, not when, and we'll get to this here in just a second, but let's hear some of these other clips. That's Liz Cheney, and now the next is this this idea that Mike Pence, okay, Mike Pence was, he's the victim that day. He was targeted for assassination. He almost lost his life. President Trump called him a wimp and the P word because he wouldn't delay the certification. They keep saying topple the government, overthrow the government. No, that never was the intent. The intent was state legislatures, judges, secretaries of state illegally changed voting methods in states, which was a violation of the Constitution. Unfortunately, the cowards in black robes wouldn't hear the cases. In fact, no courts don't like to intervene in elections unless, of course, it's to extend them. Or if they think their vote has been disenfranchised. What about the president of the United States who was disenfranchised? There's something seriously wrong with our system where we can have this kind of a theft of an election and there is no recourse especially when the judicial branch won't touch it, and the executive branch is the one in question, that only leaves one branch. That's the legislative branch. And so the big debate on all this, and that's really what this was about, the plan, Operation, what was it, the Green Bay Sweep that Navarro called it, was to delay certification of the electors. It wasn't to topple or overthrow government. It wasn't for Pence to pick who the president was. It was to delay the certification, give the states in question time to see if they could figure out what happened. And you had like 10 days. This was January 6th or whatever it was. You had about 10 days in the inauguration. It was January 20th. So you really had about 10 days. And that would have been plenty. 10 days to look into it, see what they could find, pour everything they could, every asset, because Bill Barr didn't do it. The FBI didn't do it. Some local folks may have done it. But that was the whole gist of this. Is it spelled out like that in the Constitution? No. The wording of the Electoral Count Act or the Election Counting Act is kind of vague. And so that's one thing we should clean up immediately should Trump be reelected. But anyway, the idea here was Mike Pence was in great danger that day.
Make no mistake about the fact that the vice president's life was in danger. A recent court filing by the Department of Justice explains that a confidential informant from the Proud Boys told the FBI that the Proud Boys would have killed Mike Pence if given a chance.
Translation, an FBI operative, an undercover FBI plant who infiltrated the Proud Boys, came up with that nonsense. Mike Pence's life was never in danger, ever. In fact, the photos that you see, he was sitting there with his wife, Karen, his brother, Greg, and I think their daughter, Charlotte, and they were just kind of chatting in a room.
All you have to do is go back to the Whitmore case where the FBI set them all up.
Right. And not only that, there was,
again.
Well, and there was also another case with Ralph Northam. And they just did it again with Patriot Front out in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
There you go.
So Mike Pence was never, his life was never in danger. There was no plot to assassinate Mike Pence. Did some people chant, hang Mike Pence? Yeah. You know, that's political expression. They weren't, did you see any gallows? You know, I didn't see any gallows being built. I didn't see any nooses. I mean, that's just, that's bizarre. In any event, this is what the whole afternoon was about yesterday, was making sure they could somehow rehabilitate Pence's image among Republican voters, because they want to make sure that if Donald Trump runs again, that he's got some kind of competition, and they think Pence may be the one. Who knows? Another one of the president's legal team, Eric Hirschman, and they also made John Eastman, the constitutional scholar, they tried to make him look like a bumbling idiot yesterday. Eastman, he had a different reading of the Constitution. This guy, Eric Hirschman, on the president's legal team, he makes him sound like he's insane for coming up with a delayed certification. Listen.
You're saying that you believe the vice president, acting as president of the Senate, can be the sole decision maker as to, under your theory, who becomes the next president of the United States? And you said yes. I said, are you out of your effing mind? I said, you're going to cause riots in the streets. And he said, words to the effect of, there's been violence in the history of our country, Eric, to protect the democracy or protect the republic.
Yeah, and he wasn't advocating violence. He was pointing out that, yes, there were times in our country. Oh, did you ever hear the Civil War? Yeah, and, of course, the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812. There were all sorts of battles, little mini battles for independence and freedom. And when people felt that there were rebellions, the Whiskey Rebellion and others like that, where people felt that they were wronged. Here you had 75 million legitimate votes for Donald Trump that were wronged. They stopped the counting in the middle of the night. Then they restarted it. Then they just kept on day one, day two, day three, all the way 5 days later until the election was called for Biden. They kept counting till they came up with the votes they needed. You're lucky there wasn't a violent overthrow of government based on what was done to President Trump and to Trump voters and to this country. We see the fruits of their labor now, don't we?
Yep.
This country is in a big mess. It's in a big hurt.
You know, and according to the J6 guys there yesterday, that's 75 million terrorists.
Yeah. Yeah, that's basically what they're calling the deplorables now. We've been identified as domestic terrorists because we care about our country, care about our government, and don't think that the way that Joe Biden was installed should be the way a constitutional republic operates. Greg Jacob is Pence's chief legal advisor. He weighed in on the situation yesterday.
And he said, absolutely. Al Gore did not have a basis to do it in 2000. Kamala Harris shouldn't be able to do it in 2024, but I think you should do it today.
Yeah, I should do it today. Well, Al Gore, of course, you didn't have, there wasn't an election that was stolen at this level. I mean, remember with the Al Gore, Bush Gore case was about the hanging chads and butterfly ballots in one state, Florida. And that, what did that do? That actually went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court decided it in a 5-4 vote. The Supreme Court wouldn't touch this case. Why? I have my theories. I have my opinions. Because I think had they taken the case and seen what we've seen, they would have had to overturn the results. And they didn't want, they wanted no part of that. And they were going to go along with the rest of this charade to make sure that they didn't like Trump either. Even the ones that were appointed by, you know, they'd rather go along with the establishment and, you know, with the status quo. So they did roll out a retired federal conservative judge by the name of J. Michael Luttig. Now, J. Michael Luttig, I'm going to give you some background on him right now. He is from Texas. He was appointed by Bush 41, establishment guy. Luttig has had a pretty solid federal career, except for the fact that he kept getting passed over for Supreme Court nominations. And there's a reason for that, okay? And one of the reasons is, you know, I think he wasn't consistent in his textualism, his originalism, as we like to call it. And here's some proof of that. Recently, J. Michael Luttig wrote a letter in support of Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, saying that she was eminently qualified to serve on the Supreme Court of the United States, basically taking up for her. And that is something that, again, once they get in there, it's like a fraternity. It's like a union. Judges protect each other. They protect liberals. They protect conservatives or the independents. You know, it's not about protecting the Constitution and the Constitutional Republic. It's about protecting your own. So Luttig is out there. And he had some very interesting things to say about what he thought, his opinions on what was going on during this entire time.
It's because to this very day, the former president, his allies and supporters pledge that in the presidential election of 2024, if the former president or his anointed successor as the Republican Party presidential candidate were to lose that election, that they would attempt to overturn that 2024 election in the same way that they attempted to overturn the 2020 election, but succeed in 2024 where they failed in 2020.
I know it was painful to listen to, but
So glad that is over.
Yeah, Luttig went on to say that basically that Trump posed and his allies, meaning, you know, you and me, a clear and present danger to American democracy. So they and look, I think the guy resented Trump because he got passed over for three, not one, not two, but three Supreme Court openings. So he's like Liz Cheney. You know, it's revenge. And now he's going to go and he's going to sully. Look, You can say a lot of things about Donald Trump, but one of those is that he adhered and revered the Constitution. He had the freedom of speech. You won't ever see him creating these kinds of disinformation governance boards, ministries of truth. He protected religious liberty. He was very pro Second Amendment. This president. And this guy's crapping all over the Constitution, not even following the laws. You know, Article 2, Section 3, I think, states the president of the United States shall faithfully execute the laws of the United States. Joe Biden is not doing that.
Trump saw what was coming down the pike. He knew that we were going to be in this mess that we are in now. And that's why he was trying to save us from this disaster we're in.
Indeed. Well,
Look at all the crap that was slung at Trump every day, you know, twice on Sundays. We didn't hear anything about a truth board from him.
Nope.
No, and you wouldn't. You wouldn't hear that. I hate to do this to you, Joe, but there's one more clip of Judge Luttig.
Oh, please.
This one isn't quite as bad.
That declaration of Donald Trump as the next president would have plunged America into what I believe would have been tantamount to a revolution within a constitutional crisis.
We're in a constitutional crisis right now.
Yeah. Yep.
So these people are up there, what if, projecting, look, if this didn't happen, then we're in a constitutional crisis as we speak. And this sanctimonious ass gets up there and starts to lecture us, not paying any attention to any of the real evidence. Of course, Benny Thompson, he's another piece of work. He once again had to basically try to save the reputation of Mike Pence.
When Mike Pence made it clear that he wouldn't give in to Donald Trump's scheme, Donald Trump turned the mob on him, a mob that was chanting, "Hang Mike Pence."
Yeah, well, they were chanting a lot of things that day. And did any of them come true? Was Mike Pence hung? Was Nancy Pelosi, they played Smear the Queer with it? No, none of that. There wasn't a single member of Congress that was injured. There were no police officers who died that day. Unfortunately, there were some injuries, and that's because police fired concussion grenades into the crowd and got everybody to panic. Four Trump voters died that day at the hands of U.S. Capitol Police. And by the way, they knew 2 weeks prior, that there may have been threats of violence by some of these groups. And they all, Pelosi, Bowser, Schumer, they all refused Trump's offer of 20,000 National Guard on January 4th. So if you're trying to topple the government and overthrow the government, why would you offer the National Guard? You wouldn't.
Exactly. No.
And this thing is such a snooze fest. It's so bad. How bad is it? Well, we played you the Rachel Maddow cut last episode that she's out. She's not in it. Lester Holt, NBC News, made this announcement yesterday.
As we come up at the top of the hour, we're going to have to end our coverage of this January 6th hearing on the NBC network. My colleagues and I will continue our coverage on the hearings on our streaming platform, NBC News Now. For everyone else, U.S. Open Golf begins momentarily. I'm Lester Holt for NBC News in New York. Good day.
They cut away from the hearings to cover the U.S. Open. With all apologies to the golfers and golf fans, you know, not the most scintillating thing to watch. It's a great game to play unless you're really, really, really into it. But that's how many people were interested in this stupid hearing yesterday. But it's history. It's important to learn what the enemy is up to and what they're plotting. All right, so now to the gas prices, which continue to rise each and every day. There's no end in sight. We have refineries shutting down. We have Chairman Joe going over to the big, the pariah, as he called them, the Saudis, to pump more oil. You got Russia right now. Their war continues to be fueled by their oil sales. So it doesn't matter what we give Ukraine. As long as oil prices remain high, Putin is on the march. And so there's no end in sight. Sad to say that, because I don't think he's going to change. In fact, let's listen. We got a couple of pieces of evidence for you. The reason why, and you can play this for your friends, for your liberal friends, and some of them may agree with Joe Biden, but here is evidence that he is not Putin. He is at fault for the high gas prices.
Number one, no more subsidies for fossil fuel industry. No more drilling on federal lands. No more drilling, including offshore. No ability for the oil industry to continue to drill, period. Ends.
That's it. They don't want any more drilling. John Kerry the other day, no more drilling. Don't need to drill. ExxonMobil pushed back after that nasty letter from Biden. Pushed back against the accusations Biden lobbed against oil companies in his letter last week. The company said, quote, it's invested more than any other company to develop U.S. oil and gas supplies at a cost of more than $50 billion in the last 5 years. These investments have brought about nearly a 50% increase in the company's U.S. production. Here's a little business model for you, Joe. If they don't invest their profits back into exploration, they're not going to have fossil fuels to develop.
Yeah.
Or oil or gas or oil to discover and pump and gas to refine. And we won't have gasoline and we won't have energy. That's the way it works right now. There is no alternative energy that could supply the needs of this nation. You could take your solar and your wind and all this other stuff, hydroelectric, and it's only 3 to 5% total. We need coal. We need fossil fuels. We need nuclear right now. And here's the message that the regime gives to the oil companies. This to me was stunning. This is the woman who reads at the press briefings, Karine Jean-Pierre.
What we need them to do is, with the oil that's out there, we need them to refine that oil so that the capacity could go up and then prices would go down, okay, inherently go down.
And so, I know the president once said that he was going to end fossil fuel. Is that now off the table?
No, we are going to continue to move forward with our clean energy proposal, our climate change proposal.
Yeah, so basically, we need you to keep pumping, put your profits aside, pump more oil, increase production so we can shut you down in 5 to 10 years. That's a great business model, isn't it? And of course, without any evidence, without any proof whatsoever, here is Crazy Nancy accusing the big oil companies of price gouging.
Largely, the price of the pump is about supply. Supply is down. Cost is up. The war has contributed enormously to that. But there is also price gouging, and we had legislation that we talked about before that was passed in the Congress addressing price gouging as well as market manipulation.
You know how they gauge price gouging? Let me tell you their little crazy Marxist math. Let's say oil companies typically take 3% out of every barrel of oil. Okay. That's their quote unquote profit. Well, when a barrel of oil is $100 a barrel, their price is going to be X amount at 3%. When it's $150 a barrel, which is not set by the oil companies, it's set by the world commodities markets, because it's OPEC, it's US, it's the Russians, it's all. So when it's $150 a barrel, they still take 3%, but guess what? It's more because the price of oil is more. That's what they call taking a profit. It's idiotic. We do. We have a bunch of idiots and serial liars running our country right now. And once again, Karine Jean-Pierre lecturing the big oil companies, it's your patriotic duty to pump.
Are there other industries that you think need to step up in a patriotic fashion to try to help reduce inflation or cost for America?
So there's not a list that I have right now for you. Right now, we want to focus on the oil refinery, which is why we put out the letter today or yesterday. I'm losing my track of time. And so we see that as an important first step in making sure that the oil refineries are doing their part, again, patriotic duty, in making sure that they're putting out capacity. And they're not taking advantage of a war that is hurting the American public.
Yeah, when Hunter Biden heard that it was his patriotic duty to pump, he booked the entire whorehouse in Las Vegas.
Hank.
Whoa.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's just ridiculous. But again, more proof that it's Joe Biden's policies. He got rid of Donald Trump's energy policies. We were energy dominant. We were number one in the world. Gas prices when Donald Trump when he first came in, were right around $1.80 a gallon. When he left, they weren't too far from that. They were around $2 a gallon. Here is Joe Biden. Again, we put together a little montage for you.
Would there be any place for fossil fuels, including coal and fracking, in a Biden administration?
No, we would work it out. We would make sure it's eliminated. No more drilling on federal lands. No more drilling, including offshore. No ability for the oil industry to continue to drill, period.
I guarantee you. We're going to end fossil fuel.
What about, say, stopping fracking and stopping new pipeline infrastructure?
New pipeline, exactly.
No more, no new fracking.
We are going to get rid of fossil fuels.
I've argued against any more oil drilling or gas drilling on federal lands.
No one's going to build a coal-fired plant again, and we're going to get rid of the ones we have now.
Have a transition from the oil industry, yes.
Would you be willing to sacrifice some of that growth, even knowing potentially that it could displace thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of blue-collar workers, in the interest of transitioning to that greener economy?
The answer is yes.
Yeah.
Do you need any more evidence?
He ran on that, and then he gets in there, and or actually even before the election, everybody was calling him out on that, and he's like, oh, no, that's not going to happen. But yeah. He totally lied.
I've always said
the truth and then he lied.
When the left tells you something, believe them, because that's their intent. That's what they're going to do. May take them a while to get there, but that's what their intent. That's exactly what they're going to do. And they've done that to the economy. I don't know if you read it. Maybe we'll do that on one of the episodes next week. The New York Times actually debunked 10 Joe Biden economic statements, 10 of them. His economy is unraveling. That means we as a country, see the stock market down again today.
Yes.
I mean, it's now in bear market. First time it's been under 30,000 in a couple of years. And it's not going to get it better anytime soon. We are already in recession. I hate to tell you that because people panic, but the economic indicators lag behind when government tells you, when officially you're in recession. We're already there. We're in negative growth. Capital markets are dead right now. The bull market is dead. We're in a bear market, and we can see inflation worst in 40 years. Gas prices, grocery, and it's going to get worse. They're coming. We had 10,000 head of cattle die in Kansas this week. 10,000.
Yeah, what was that about?
Yeah, well, they claim it was the heat. I doubt it. I'm sorry. I'm not buying all this stuff. These guys, can you imagine? That's $2,000 a head. You don't think they took steps to protect their cattle? I'm sorry, I don't, again, these are farmers and ranchers. They know what the hell they're doing.
And the retailers see it too. My sister works for Home Goods, and the manager said they were making like 20% profit, and now they're like down to 2%. So yeah. they're seeing a huge decline.
Revlon filed for bankruptcy this week. One of the biggest major cosmetic companies in the world filed for bankruptcy. I'm telling you, there's a whole world of hurt coming. Don't want to be the harbinger of bad news. But again, our country, our economy, our way of life is at stake because people didn't like mean tweets. They put their trust in the media and this bag of bones. The guy had never had any business getting close to the White House. And Donald Trump tried to warn us. He told us all of this would happen. Have you seen the meme out there with it's got Joe Biden in his own words saying, my opponent said this was going to happen. They got Trump predicting it. And of course, then they have it exactly happening as he predicted it would. This is a little bit different. This is a CNN data analyst. His name is Harry Enten. He's on with Anderson Cooper. And then remember, this is CNN, Biden bootlicking channel, fake news network. And this was a pig's flying moment.
Put this inflation in context. How bad is this surge in prices?
It's awful. I mean, it's awful. And how people feel about it is even worse. You know, you look at the consumer sentiment right now, and what do you see? This is the worst consumer sentiment ever measured by the University of Michigan, going all the way back since 1952.
Wow.
Even if you double my age, that doesn't get you back to 1952. And while I'm young, I'm not that young, right? The second worst 1980, the third worst 1980. I don't have to remind you, inflation got Jimmy Carter. It killed that presidency. And in terms of why are consumers feeling this bad? Well, it's pretty clear why they're feeling this bad, and that is because the consumer price index is the worst it's ever been in a midterm cycle since 74. It's the worst it's been in any presidential cycle or midterm cycle since 1980. So it's not much of a surprise. You can see it. It's literally off the charts on the table on your screen.
And how does President Biden's performance rate?
Awful. I mean,
I knew that was the answer.
The answer is awful. I mean, you know, I'll compare it to Carter at this point, his presidency, right? Look at the disapproval rating Joe Biden has on inflation right now. Wow. It's over 70%. Carter was not even there at this point in mid-1978. When you're doing worse than Jimmy Carter's doing in the minds of Americans on inflation, you know that they're holding you responsible for the conditions that are currently on the ground that are hurting Americans in their pocketbooks.
Worst president ever.
Yep.
And it's not just the policies, because they're bad. They're Marxist. They're progressive. They're the wrong policies for this country. It's his performance. It's his cognitive decline. It's his inability to string a couple of sentences together without making a horrible gaffe. Yesterday at the White House, our cringe moment of the day, Joanne Fabrics, I'm sure you've heard of them. He had the CEO there in attendance for this inflation business roundtable or whatever. And here's what he said about the CFO who had recently passed away.
And by the way, my sympathies to the family of your CFO, who dropped dead very unexpectedly. And my best to their family. It's tough stuff.
The president has a big stick.
No. Chopped dead? Oh, yeah, my gosh.
That's diplomatic lingo. That's really presidential. Yeah, I'm sorry your CFO dropped dead. I mean, imagine the orange man bad. You know, when President Trump would say something or tweet something, oh, he was a brute. You know, he was vile. You know, Joe Biden says something so inartful, so uncaring.
And callous.
The media is just like, oh, okay, just another day. Time for the unhinged moment du jour.
Donald J. Trump is now president of the United States.
And it goes to Crazy Nancy. On Thursday, she was asked about the pro-life pregnancy centers being firebombed and vandalized. The far-left terrorist organization Jane's Revenge firebombed where's the FBI infiltration of that group? They firebombed a pro-life pregnancy center in Buffalo, New York. They vandalized and destroyed a woman running for Congress in Wisconsin. They have firebombed another pro-life center in Wisconsin earlier this year. $150,000 worth of damage in Buffalo. And she was asked about that at her press conference.
I'm saying that, Mr. Speaker, actually, as far as the abortion case is concerned, there has been a number of attacks on churches, on crisis pregnancy centers. Republicans are going after Democrats for not saying anything, and they're saying that your rhetoric is contributing to these attacks on these crisis pregnancy centers.
Well, let me just say this. A woman has a right to choose, to live up to her responsibility. It's up to her, her doctor, her family, her husband, her significant other, and her God. This talk of politicizing all of this, I think, is something uniquely American and not right. Other countries, Ireland, Italy, Mexico, have had initiatives to expand a woman's right to choose. Very Catholic countries. I'm a very Catholic person, and I believe in every woman's right to make her own decisions. Any other questions on another subject?
Because let's bat that one right away. We don't touch that. We don't. What does that have? What woman's right to choose have to do with violence, firebombing pro-life pregnancy centers? And if anything, that interferes in a woman's right to choose. And again, refusing to condemn left-wing terrorism and droned on about how she's a very Catholic person. There's not a Catholic bone in her body. Again, Jane's Revenge this week issued a terroristic threat against pro-life pregnancy centers, saying future measures may not come in the form of something so easily cleaned up as fire and graffiti. And they said it's open season on pro-life centers. Where's Merrick Garland? Where is the canceling queen? You know, violent threats. online, cyber stalking, because they issued it on one of their social media accounts. Will they be investigated? Are they having their data collected?
I hope so, but probably not.
Yeah, think again, right? All right, Dr. Fauci has turned up positive. I mean, positive for his own virus.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Sorry to hear you're feeling under the weather, Dr. Fauci-stein.
I'm okay.
You're okay?
Yeah.
I don't think you're okay.
Another shot?
After you heard the exchange yesterday with Rand Paul. What do you think about Rand Paul?
I hate that. I hate that guy. I every time we talk, he just makes me look like a fool.
It doesn't take much there, Dr. Fauci-stein.
Well, thank you, Sean.
You're quite welcome anytime. But I appreciate the fact that you recorded this for us here today.
I'm Dr. Anthony Fauci with some great news for way too many of you. I got COVID. There, you happy now, huh? I have very mild symptoms and I'm feeling better. That was until I checked Twitter. Man on! People are high-fiving and hashtagging over an 81-year-old man falling ill. They think it's karma. Unbelievable! These sickos probably cheer when the school crossing guard gets run over by a dump truck. What the hell's wrong with you people? Hey, maybe next week I'll fall and break a hip, and you can all throw a cake party. You want me to say I was wrong about everything? Fine, I was wrong. All you haters should not get the vaccine. Also, don't wear your seatbelt, and it's perfectly fine to stick a fork in the toaster. You morons.
That sounds just like me, Sean. Where did you get that?
Yeah, like I said, it sounds like Dr. Fauci needs another shot.
Oh, boy, it's too easy. Time for outrages of the day. Michelle, you lead it off today.
Okay. Well, I know somebody who works at the Northrop Grumman Underwater Sea Systems division over in Annapolis. And they were, you know, a lot of the people there were not happy when Northrop Grumman decided to bring down the POW flag that was flying, and they hoisted up the Pride flag instead.
Wow.
And, yeah. So, I mean, really, why can't we fly all three? Why did they have to bring down the POW MIA flag?
Well, why even put up the Pride flag? I mean, right. they is it going to put up a flag for Juneteenth on Monday? Is that the next flag? We're going to flag a day? I mean, the only flags that you fly are the American flag, the state flag. Right. And again, I have no problem putting up the POW MIA flag because these are men that gave their lives, and women in some cases, and sacrifice of their nation. So
yes.
It is just it is amazing. It really
now, here's
is.
Here's something else. The Juneteenth thing. Why are we why is everybody off on June the 20th? You know, I can see if June 19th falls on during the week. But why in the world are they off on Monday? It's just to take a holiday, unfortunately, in my opinion.
You know, you're only supposed to do one. You're a malcontent. You did two.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, I kind of let her into that segue.
I don't ever want to see you again.
Do you? All right, Joe, do you have a double outrage or just a singles horse today?
No, I just got a single today, and it's nothing specific. It's just this chronic lying by this administration. Nothing they say is true, and it's just it's destroying any trust that you know we have in government.
Well, yeah, because his entire career has been a lie. I mean, you look at it. He plagiarizes. He lies the whole nine yards. I mean, that's all he knows how to do. And all he's ever done over the years is lie. And, of course, it just trickles down to the rest of his folks. Speaking of the Bidens, my outrage is this. A Florida woman right now is under FBI investigation for selling Ashley Biden's diary. Ashley Biden is the only daughter, only child of Jill Biden and Joe Biden. The diary is authentic. The FBI previously raided Project Veritas, James O'Keefe, because they thought he stole the diary, and the journal actually belongs to Biden's daughter. Well, it turns out Amy Harris of Florida, she lives in Palm Beach, she found Ashley's diary hidden in a mattress at a halfway house. Gee, of all places, right? Wow. According to the Daily Mail, Joe Biden's youngest daughter left her diary under the mattress, and in a January 2019 entry, she recalled how she used to shower with her father, Joe Biden, and suggested it may have contributed to a sex addiction. Quote, "I've always been boy crazy, hypersexualized at a young age. I remember somewhat being sexualized with a family member. I remember having sex with friends at a young age. Showers with my dad, probably not appropriate," she wrote in a January 2019 entry. Ashley Biden is now 41. She's battling drug and alcohol addiction since she was very young, but she was traumatized at a very young age. By who is the question? Well, according to her, it was by Pops. Showering with her father? Hunter Biden, Biden family values. You got a crackhead, and we all seen his behavior in pictures and on the laptop images, and now Ashley Biden was showering with dad, and remember all these creepy things he does with children?
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, it's all kind of coming together in a really creepy way.
Creepy Joe.
Creepy Joe, indeed. That's going to do it for us. Thanks again for joining us here. Don't forget the case and commentary drops tomorrow. It's all about J6. I got all sorts of questions. You're going to want to hear that one. We'll also hear from Marjorie Taylor Greene and from Barry Loudermilk as well on the commentary. But remember, you can contact us here at TheSeanCaseyShow@gmail.com. That's TheSeanCaseyShow@gmail.com.
Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction.
Thanks again to our excellent producer, Joe Hosny-Armacost.
Yes, sir. Good week, my man.
Good week. And to our associate producer, Michelle Drasella.
Yeah, it was my pleasure.
Thanks, Michelle. And thanks to our other producers, associate producers Logan and Hunter Casey. We're back tomorrow with the Casey commentary. We'll see you on Monday on The Sean Casey Show. Stay free.